जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिर वरधारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिर वरधारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारिया, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिर वरधारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिर वरधारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारिया, यमुना तीरावन चारिया, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारिया, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारिया, put it up there, whoa, gopi jan vallabha gir varadhari, gopi jan vallabha gir varadhari, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, let's get it up there, जय जय राधम भव कुंज बिहारिया.
Down here.
Radham Bhava Kunja Bihariya.
And up again. Whoa.
Radham Bhava Kunja Bihariya. And one, two, three, four. Up, up, down, down, up.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari.
And sideways. One, two, three, four.
And normalize it. Jaya
Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari.
Ajaya
Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari.
Jaya
Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari.
Oh, oh, get those hands going. Clap away.
Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari.
Shishi Radha Madhava Ki.
Jayam Vishnubhada Paramahansa Paribrajika Sariya Suttara Sutta Sisimata.
His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajika Charya Sutta Sutta Sisimad. His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki. Nama Charishala Haridasta Kori Ki. Premsi Gosi Kisni Chaitanya Prabhuni Chananda Siyadvaita Gadadha Shavashari Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Sri Vrindavan Ki Navadvip Maipuradam Ki Ganga Mai Ki Yamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki Brihat Mridanga Ki Sama Bera Bhakta Vrinda Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. Glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. Glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. Glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Everyone together. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutade Simate Bhaktivedanta Swame Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyava. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Tamarandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militangina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha.
I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisance unto him. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Hare Krishna. Good morning. Hare Krishna. So today we're going to be looking at Canto 9 from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's chapter 16 entitled Lord Parashuram Destroys the Ruling Class. And we're looking at text 22-23. Okay? So here are the verses that I'm going to read, 20, 21, 22. And then we'll get to 23 in detail. Thereafter, Parashuram joined his father's head to the body, the dead body, and placed the whole body and head upon Kusha grass. By offering sacrifices, he began to worship Lord Vasudev, who is the all-pervading supersoul of all the demigods and of every living entity. Text 21 and 22. After completing the sacrifice, Lord Parashuram gave the eastern direction to the Huta as a gift, the south to the Brahma, the west to the Advaryu, the north to the Udgata, and the four corners, northeast, southeast, northwest, and southwest, to the other priests. He gave the middle to Kasyapa, and the place known as Aryavarta to the Upadrashta. Whatever remained, he distributed among the Sadasyas, the associate priests. Purport, it's a mini purport. The tract of land in India between the Himalaya mountains and the Vindhya hills is called Aryavarta. And here's text 23. It's on the board. Tatas chavabrita snana vidhutasesha kilmishaha sarasvatyang maha nadyang reje vyabra ivangshuman tatas chavabrita tatas chava brita snana vidutashesha kilbishaha sarasvatyang mahanadyang reje vyabri imangshuman reje vyabra Ivang Shuman Tatashava Britasnana Vidutashisha Kilbishaha Sarasvatyang Mahanadyang Rejya Vyabra Ivang Shuman Tascha Britasnana Viduta Shesha Kilbishaha Sarasvatyang Mahanadyang Rejavya Bra Ivang Shuman Tascha Britasnana Idut Shesha Kilbishaha Sarasvatyang Mahanadyang Rejya Vyabra Ivangshuman Tatashavapritasnana Idut Shesha Kilbishaha Sahasvat Yang Mahanadyang Reja Vyabra Ivang Shuman Vaishnavi Tatas Chava Brita Vita Sain Kilbishaha
Sarasvatyang Mahanavyang Rejevya Brahimanshiman Tutaschava Vritasnana Vidusashishakilvishaha Sarasvatyang Mahanyatyang Rejavya Bra Ivangshuman. Okay, Tattaha, thereafter, Cha, also, of a Brittasthana, I'm sorry, of a Brittasthana, by bathing. After finishing the sacrifice, Viduta, cleansed, Ashesha, unlimited, Kilbishaha, whose reactions of sinful activities, Sarasvatyam, on the bank of the great river Saraswati, Mahanadyam, one of the biggest rivers in India. Reje, Lord Parashuram appeared. Vyabraha, cloudless. Iva, Angshuman, like the sun. Translation. Thereafter, having completed the ritualistic sacrificial ceremonies, Lord Parashuram took the bath known as Avabritta Snan, standing on the bank of the great river Saraswati, cleared of all sins. Lord Parashuram appeared like the sun in a clear, cloudless sky. Please repeat. Thereafter, having completed the ritualistic sacrificial ceremonies, Lord Parashuram took the bath known as the Avabritta Snana, standing on the bank of the great river Saraswati, cleared of all sins. Lord Parashuram appeared like the sun in a clear, cloudless sky. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we'd like you to help me read it through. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Yajnaritat karmanon yatra loko yang karma bandhanaha. Work has to be done, or work done, as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. Karma bandhanaha refers to the repeated acceptance of one material body after another. The whole problem of life is this repetition of and okay. Therefore, one is advised to work to perform yajna meant for satisfying Lord Vishnu. Although Lord Parashuram was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he had to account for sinful activities. Anyone in the material world, however careful he may be, must commit some sinful activities even though he does not want to. For example, one may trample many small ants and other insects while on the
street and kill many living beings unknowingly. Therefore, the Vedic principle of Pancha Yajna, five kinds of recommended sacrifice, is compulsory. In this age of Kali, however, there is a great concession given to people in general. Yajyai Sankirtana Prayair Yajantihi Sumedasaha. We may worship Lord the hidden incarnation of Krishna. Krishna Varanyam Twisha Krishnam. Although he is Krishna himself, he always chants Hare Krishna. That's it. No more. And preaches consciousness. One is recommended to worship this incarnation by chanting the Sankirtan Yajna. The performance of Sankirtan Yajna is a special concession for human society. To save people from being affected by known or unknown sinful activity, we are surrounded by unlimited sins, and therefore it is compulsory that one take to consciousness and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Thank you very much. Okay, this story of Parashuram, who is celebrated as one of the great avatars, has a very colorful history. Colorful, if we were to give him a color, it would probably be red. Because as Radhana Swami was speaking about the other day, and his predecessor, Bharadu Narayan Maharaj, there was a river of blood that was created. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Parashuram was the one person who was very responsible for creating a mass migration across the globe. Prabhupada explains that, like most stories that we read about, it all starts from India, which is the cradle of civilization, and Parashuram was extremely intimidating, large man, matted hair, black deer skin, and a chopper in his hand, an axe, you can say. And he was on a mission, and that mission was to have revenge against the Kshatriya order, the warrior class. So those warriors basically did, without visas, they went all over the world, crossing rivers and borders, and they ended up in different places. And this was one way that the world got populated, thanks to Parashuram. Yay! The stories that we're reading about here too, it shows that there's a lot of decapitation going on, which is not alien to the stories of the Mahabharata. Ancient tales do tell of heads flying in the air and arms going and all these kind of things. So he's colorful for sure. It is described that Parashuram is someone who this is what I find the most interesting aspect of this purport. He accepted sinful reactions. Now, this will raise some eyebrows and questions in the mind. How is it that one of the primary avatars would be implicated in karma, in sinful reactions? Srila Prabhupada speaks about that also in the Acharyas, that it is Ramachandra, another one of our favorite avatars, no doubt, who also accepted, let's say, a tremendous emotional feelings of separation, sadness and anger and so on like that, at the loss of his consort, the divine Sita. And so as long as one is in the material world, there will be these kind of problems, even for an avatar. Even Krishna, he accepted the reaction from Sri Gandhari that his city that he built up, Dwarka, on the west coast by the Arabian Sea, that it was going to be demolished. It would be taken over, engulfed by water. A tsunami came in, you know, and just engulfed the whole thing. Has anybody ever been to Dwarka? Maybe done any snorkeling down there in the water? Have you found any remains? Well, I was fortunate enough to go to Kurukshetra, which I'm sure some of you have gone there, and the Krishna Museum is there, and they have on display all kinds of items, you know, artifacts that have been found in the ocean that are left from the ancient city of Dwarka, established by Krishna himself. Little pieces of, let's say, crowns from pillars and whatnot, and dishes and, you know, a different kind of cutlery and things like that were on display, as well as some dice. You know, they used to use dice in the Vedic times. They were sort of rectangular in shape, and they've got them on display there too. So I find it very interesting. So the Lord can do whatever he wants. Krishna is Yogeshwara. He's the supreme mystic, and he can do whatever he wants. And if he wants to take on some reaction, he will, but he doesn't suffer the same kind of consequences necessarily as we do. There was the story of Radharani, and she was offended by Krishna because, you know, he was known to kill a bull, you know, Aristasur. And for that, he had to take on some, what do you call it, some punya, or he had to take on some kind of, what's the term? Prayaschita, that's right. And to atone for his sinful activities, you know, and that's very interesting. Why would God do that? But you see, God likes to play. God likes to be involved, to be implicated in all kinds of different dramas and like theatrics. That's a fact. When it comes down to it, everything is a theater. Everything's a stage, and it's not just that Shakespeare said that. Everyone's playing a role. Most of us are playing a role. I'm a sannyasi, or I'm a grihastha, or I'm male, or I'm female, I'm a dog, I'm a cat. We have different roles to play, and different career lifestyles that has some kind of, let's say, you know, practice or karma to it all. And in this way, we are always involved in some kind of play. And it's not until we actually come to a high elevated state where I really understand, embrace this concept, I'm not this body, but I am Ahang Brahmasmi, I'm a spirit. Then we are involved in some kind of play. And that's the way it is in this material world. And we have a lot of different roles that we play. In this life, previous life, and you know, I see it sometimes in working with our actors, I don't know about doing this part again or doing this play again. It's always interesting that when people always line up for playing the roles of the demons, the asuras, and they don't want to line up for playing the parts of the saints like Narada Muni and so on like that. But it's always something, whether you're in a play on the stage or whether you're off the stage, we are in some kind of drama. And what about when we're in the liberated stage, when we can say goodbye to this ephemeral world, when we can say goodbye forever, and we're in that paramdhamma, that abode that Krishna talks about. There we're also playing roles. We have different role parts that we play out. And whether it's as a gopi or a gopa or or a cow or a blade of grass and so on like that. We all have different roles to play. One time I was talking to the famous Professor Joseph T. O'Connell, and to our blame or to our guilt, we didn't spend enough time with him because he was quite a scholar, and he had studied Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Sikhism, and so on like that. So because he was such a an eloquent speaker and so on like that, I was always shy to kind of be in contact with him. We live in the same city in Toronto in Canada. But there was one time that we did have a heart-to-heart chit-chat, and he was asking me, so what's happening in the movement? Because he was a fighter for establishing ISKCON in the early days when we were accused of being a very sinister cult, a cult, like evil and shady. He came forth and stuck up for us and said, this is a bona fide tradition. It goes back to 500 years and 5,000 years prior to that and the Krishna era and so on like that. So he asked me once, he said, so Bhakti Murad, what's going on these days in the movement? What's going on? I said, oh, we're making some progress. We're growing. But more recently, there are some people that are contemplating, within our society, spending a lot of time contemplating on what they will be in the future. What lila, what swarup, what will be their, liberated state, their eternal rasa with Krishna. And say, well, that's very interesting. That's very interesting, he said to me. And he said, well, it's not so much that the tradition holds that you look so much what's before you. It's more what is important is what you do right now, your service to Krishna. And so we're talking about the future, we're talking about the present, we are also talking a little bit about the past. Now, we know that it's not so good to always think about the past. Why do you want to live in the past? It's a very negative thing. At least for many of us, it wasn't such a positive experience. Are you with me on that one? Yes? I see it like it's living very much in tamagun, a mode of ignorance, when you spend too much time in ignorance. It's better to spend time in the present moment and a little bit of time, perhaps, in the future. Yeah, because future projects are important. That's very necessary, especially in terms of how we want to play out our Krishna consciousness and how we want to try to help the world and be a better place and so on when Krishna is at the center and so on. I've sort of, in my long walks across countries, I've had a lot of time to think, and I sometimes contemplate on what am I thinking about? Where do I spend most of my time? Am I spending a lot of time in the past? Am I in the future, or am I in the present? So, I don't know. I think maybe 30, 30, or 33, 33, 33 point something. I think that's for me. It's just my conditioning. I don't know about how it works for all of you. Have you ever studied your mind before to really probe into where you spend most of your time? So I was almost finished my first walk in Canada in a place, Halifax, and there was a young woman. She came from the CBC, which is always a big catch, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and she came with a tape recorder. Remember those old relics? And this was 1996, and she was asking me all the questions that are kind of normal for a journalist. When did you start walking? When do you hope to finish? And what's it all for? And how many pairs of shoes have you worn? Etc., etc. All the interesting human interest stuff. And then she asked, so now that you're almost finished your walk, what was the most significant thing that happened on this walk? And I just kind of went, I was stage fright. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know. Was it bear encounters? Was it, you know, close to death experiences and so on like that? And I really just kind of froze. And then it suddenly dawned on me. I came up with the right answer. I felt, anyways. And I said, well, the greatest moment that happened in this walk is that you're standing there, and I'm standing here, and you're asking me this question, what's the greatest thing that happened? And that's the greatest thing that happened, you asking me this question. And so she immediately jumped on the bandwagon and said, oh, I understand what you're saying. Living for the moment. Oh, yes, that's so important. She kind of like jumped like devotees do practically. It was like that. So, karma, Parashuram is taking on. It is very interesting. If any of you have had the pleasure to see the drama that we've put out there for you, and by the way, a little station break, tonight's the last night you get a chance to see. There's one beautiful episode in there where Karna comes to enroll in the school of Parashuram. Parashuram has got a martial arts school going. He's a great mystic, and he's a master in weapons. So they have an exchange. Karna is accepted. Karna fibbed a little bit. He actually took on the role of, he feigned to be a Brahmin, when actually he was a Kshatriya. But he thought that if he could fake it like this, he would be accepted. So then Parashuram accepted him into the school. He showed him some divine weapons. He gave him a mantra, which would give him ultimate protection. He did so many things for him in the ashram that Karna had enrolled in. Then it was Parashuram explained that, I'm very tired, I need to rest. So Karna decided that he would put his guru's head on his thigh and let him relax there. His thigh would be his pillow. So then what happened? You know, some minutes passed and a scorpion came and made its way to Karna's leg, crawled up his leg, and then dug deep into his thigh to create a pool of blood on his thigh. So Parashuram, he woke up from the scent of the blood and the liquid. You know, has anybody ever tried to have a nap when the rain comes down? Nectar of Devotion explains that Radharani, she suffers from lack of sleep, because she's always crying in separation from Krishna. So when your face is wet, it's not possible to sleep. You know, so anyways, Parashuram, he had a wet face, and he looks and says, what is this blood? And what's that blood in your thigh? Ah, it's a scorpion. And so anyways, he's taking some, what would seem to be some kind of like reaction. Why would the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, accept blood and on his face? So it is a fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does indeed like to engage in all kinds of rigorous sports, and you know, there's soft moments and then there's very, let's say, very hardcore moments. We were talking about how it's important to offer sacrifice to Vishnu. Yagnartat karmanon yatra lokoyam karma bandhanah tad artam karma kaunteya mukta sanga samachara. So it is said in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita that we worship Vishnu, and when we do that, we get free from the karma, from bondage. Now when we think of the image of Vishnu, what is he holding? He has his signature symbols. He has what? He has a lotus flower, and he also has a conch, right? And that's his software, you know? And then he had his hardware, which is like the chakra, which is used for the decapitation programs that we are talking about. And he also has the gada, which is oftentimes stained with blood, you know? And so in this way, the Lord has his, you know, signature symbols that he carries and takes around with him, you know? In the case of Parashuram, it's like an axe, a chopper. And yes, he's very intimidating. And so hardware, software, you know, that's what the Lord does. When we look at the story of Narasingadev. Narasingha, he is a half man, half lion. And his program was to put something on his lap. So he has this laptop, and it is Hiranyakashipu, and he's doing this, you know, the original laptop personality of Godhead. So as we said, everything starts from India, it starts from that part of the world, starts from the Vedic stories. Yeah, so Parashurama is a very interesting personality, and as Radhanath Swami was saying yesterday, he comes here to liberate. Yada yada hidharmashe glanir bhavati bharata. Abhyutanam adharmashe tadatmanam srajam yaham. So when there's trouble in the world, the Lord comes. Okay? And when he comes to deal with the duskritinas. Duskritina, dush. Somebody, we were doing practice, we had dushasana, and I said, hey, dush. And then, I don't know, he's some kind of nefarious character. I don't know, I'm not following up on the latest comic, dush. So anyways, duskritina. Duskritina, that means one who's meritorious for mischief making. Meritorious for mischief making. And these are the people that are basically glorified, they're glamorized. The people who do nonsense. The people who kind of like push to the edge and do all kinds of crazy, promiscuous things. They're the ones that get glorified. They get all the attention, isn't it? They get all the attention. And if you're actually somebody like you, you're pious, you're a good person, you cut the lawn, you cut the hedge, you know, you take care of the neighbors if there's some need. You go and, you know, help somebody with their flat tire on the road, or somebody needs to help shovel the snow out of the neighbors. That's a Canada reality. So, you know, and those kind of people, they don't get much recognition, isn't it? But what's important is to be recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not so much that I become famous in the world. I may become recognized and known in this world, but I may have no place in the spiritual world. So it's important that we get recognition from Krishna, that we act in such a way that he will kind of like look at us and say, yeah, oh, there's my cool devotee. Yeah, there's my cool devotee. So that's the way we carry on. We're motivated to do things that are of a good nature. And then Krishna, what he does, his reason for coming through the different avatars, is to protect them, to see that they are protected. And then what does he do to keep the peace? He establishes dharma. Dharma is so important for devotees. Sometimes I find that we try to fly over dharmic realities, that we go into transcendence. And sometimes, like the example of the devotees who were talking about, what's your swarup siddhi, you know, and that it wasn't so important as what you are doing now to create a better future. So it is important to walk the line of dharma, of doing what is proper. And a famous line from Prabhupada was, first be conscious, and then you become Krishna conscious. Just like, say, for instance, there's been some discussion over the internet about the use of plastic, you know, and plastic that gets tossed out, and it's not a nice thing. Are you with me on that one? It's not good. India is a land of much plastic, and practically the whole rest of the world is. So we have this nasty, you know, material that we're using all the time. And to just make waste with the world and destroy the environment should become a very important issue for the devotees, you know. And so we are very environmentally conscious. So in that regards, someone was saying over the internet, well, first let's be conscious and then you can become Krishna conscious. How is it possible to become Krishna conscious if you don't take care of the environment, if you're very abusive to people and to each other? So we also have to look at each other. Are we very nice to each other? I know in our culture, you know, if you wear saffron, and especially if you don't have a pleat in the back that is tucked in the back, and you know, like I'm walking in the campus on the grounds here, people are looking, oh, is there a pleat there? Or I don't see a stick, so they look, oh, there's no pleat. Oh, then boom, like this, even if there's a big puddle or something like that, or somebody's in their motorbike and they stop and they do the whole Dandavats thing, and I think it's very nice. But at the same time, are we giving that same kind of treatment to regular Bhakta Joe, you know, Joe Blow? Isn't everybody important? One of my favorite verses from Bhagavad Gita is Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavahaschini Shuni Chaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshina. And that a real wise person is someone who sees that there is something equal about everybody, and that is the dog, the what else? The elephant, the cell phone. Okay, yes, there's some living being in that phone. Let's wait for them. Very good. Okay, good. And what else? The Brahmin, right? And the man who eats the dog, and the cow, elephant, and dog, right? We could, oh my God, really, we're on a roll here. Yeah. Okay, so personally, I just embrace those kind of verses, which help us to understand the equanimity behind all of us, that we all have a chance. We all are spiritual, and some people are a little bit more, let's say, ahead of the game in terms of Dharma than others. Some people are, you know, lagging behind a little bit. But it's important that we try to help those people who need a little bit of extra push, a little bit extra love. Oftentimes, those persons who went through extreme heavy karma, karmic experiences, that they need a little extra help, and you invest in them, they can sometimes come out to be the very best devotees, you know? Like, say... Not to put down the tattoo culture, but usually people have all kinds of tattoos all over the place. You know that they've been involved in the life of experimentation. And yet sometimes I find these are some of the best people with the best sentiments. Is there a dance that goes with that? All right. So, everybody has a chance. So, Srila Prabhupada winds up this... purport by talking nicely about the Sankirtan Yajna, because Parashuram had a different approach. He went by old Vedic standards, you know, offering sacrifices in the different directions and having various priests there, you know, on site, you know, and we don't have that. We don't have that in our Yajnas. We don't know, is anybody in this room an incredible Sanskritist? No, anybody? Is there any one person? Vasu Ghosh, are you on the airwaves here? Vasu Ghosh, are you out there somewhere? So who's a good Sanskritist? And even if you are, what's more greater preferences placed on the fact that you engage in that kind of yajna or sacrifice, which may not have any priest there. There might not even a Brahmin anywhere. Although Prabhupada says around every corner there's a Brahmin or a potential Brahmin, but you're not going to find them all over the place in great abundance. They're usually the smallest portion of the population, Brahmins. Kshatriyas, a little bigger, Vaishyas, there's a whole bunch of them. Shudra community, big time, you know, and that's really the ratio. So then, what are the chances for people from any, regardless of background, to reach the supreme destination. Another verse that I like, Manghi parte vyapasaritya, ye bisyupapayonia, striya vaishishtata shudras, tepiyanti parangatim. That means that everybody has the opportunity, men, women, people of, you know, working class background, blue collar workers, everybody, it doesn't matter, everybody has a chance to be there. Frankly, men and women, kaloshudra sambhava, everybody's pretty low class these days. Everybody, where do you find the Brahman? It's very hard to find, like a needle in a haystack, you know. But to find a genuine Vaishnav, that's also quite rare. But Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Acharya, the Hare Krishna movement, he's done such great work, and it's magical what he did. He really brought out the best in everyone, and he made Vaishnavas out of, what can I say? He pulled people out of the garbage bin and made something useful out of us, you know? And that is his great glory, his great victory. So it is said that, quoting from the Bhagavatam, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayayar Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. So the kirtan, kirtan is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Satatan Kirtayantamam, which means your glorification of the Lord is what we do. And Sankirtan, sang refers to samyak, Sanskrit, meaning it's a combined effort. Many, many people coming together due to the sacrifices together. It's not a solo operation. It's not just somebody in some remote place on a mountain or in a cave doing some yajna. This is for everyone to participate in. And that's the glory and the beauty of Sankirtan. And that's how Prabhupada kind of like rounds up a lot of the purports, is that this is the yajna, you know. Actually, there's two words that start with Y that we're supposed to be always, I guess you can say, milking. So there's yajna, which is sacrifice, and there's yoga. In the context of devotional service, it means to do devotion, to do something with your heart. And sacrifice also, when we are offering it to Vishnu, definitely it's from the heart. So Krishna consciousness is very heartfelt, and we don't always feel that. Let's be self-admitting that when we chant our japa, it's not always like that. It is can be very mechanical. It can be upper and lower lips, and we're not very attentive, and our heart is not in the right place. And we're looking around, and we're making so many judgments, and you know, there's lust and anger and greed flying around all over the place and surrounding us and coming from inside all directions and so on like that. So it's basic, like, because Parashuram was quite the warrior, maybe we can be like him in that regards. Be a warrior against the material energy. Be a real fighter, that spiritual warrior that we're supposed to be. And you know, you have that saying, you have to choose your fights, choose your battles, right? So this is the battle of the mind, you know? And everyone is very, very quick to have a battle with another person's mind, isn't it? We're very fast to find the faults of others. And we never want to hold up a mirror. We don't like mirrors somehow or other, you know. But it's important to always carry a mirror in the form of, you know, the japa beads and form of looking at a real nice, super, you know, first class Vaishnava. I said, wow, that person is so great. Look at the enthusiasm that's demonstrated. And it makes me feel kind of, you know, guilty. And guilt is not such a bad thing. Guilt is a component of humility. And humility is the basis of success in life. So that's what we want. Trinadupi sunichina, tarorupi sahishnana, amanina manadena kirtani sadahari. The way to keep chanting, the way to keep serving, is that when we embrace this verse, verse 3 from Shikshastakam, and we put it around our body like we do, umbilical cord or Brahman's thread, and you hold on to it. Hold on to it for dear life, and then express yourself in a very heartfelt way. So Parashuram, very colorful incarnation, And you know, he definitely had in his grip the hardware, but there's a software also there at the same time. He pops up all over the place in the Vedas, in the Puranas, and it's so nice when he is there. So, being here in the Holy Dham, in Mayapur, seeing the expansion of the Sankirtan movement, it's so enlivening. The numbers of people are increasing, pilgrims, numbers of, you know, initiated devotees keep increasing. The prasadam keeps increasing, and also the wastage keeps increasing. It's all about, you know, doubling it and, you know, and everything just gets bigger and bigger and better and brighter. And that's certainly what makes Srila Prabhupada, make him very happy to see the advances of Krishna consciousness. So, well, one thing that I also glean from this story is that Parashuram was actually born a Brahmin, but he very much demonstrated the disposition of a Kshatriya. And Dronacharya was like that as well. He was a Brahmin, but he very much adjusted the sails based on the circumstances. So I think there's a lesson to be learned from that. We should be ready to adjust, especially when it comes to displaying our Krishna consciousness. What may have worked in 1973 or 72 may not go over so well with the public today because people have changed. And certainly Prabhupada flexed. He adjusted. One of the last times I went to Miami, I went to Biscayne Bay off the ocean, and we had one of those little sail devices, and you know, you really had to work hard to, you know, because there was a sail. There were three of us on this sailing device. I can't remember what you call it. And the current always changes, and you have to, you know, slide your weight over into one direction, grab a hold of another part of the device, and always adjusting your sails. And I think that shows real maturity in Krishna consciousness when we adjust our sails and let's say, be ready to do things a little differently than maybe our generation did before. We should be ready to, you know, bend a little bit. Don't take away the essence. Krishna's always God, right? Krishna will always be God. He'll always be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the essence we will not change. The way to get to God is through the bhakti boosts, you know, and that will always be that. Well, and through the chanting of Krishna's name. But the methodology may change. The wrapping, you know, what we put around, the wrap, you know, the packaging may change. So I think Prabhupada was very good at that. He adjusted. He allowed ladies to go on the altar. And that was even in India, to do the puja, to do the yajnas, and to give classes and so on like that. He adjusted because his Western students, disciples, were accustomed to that. So he didn't, you know, he wasn't so stuck on tradition. In many ways, he was a tradition breaker. And so was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I think that we have to be ready to make those kind of changes for the ultimate betterment of the world, ultimate wellness. And I think that's just the way to go. I can't think of anything else. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So it is 9 o'clock, so we will ask if you could come down to join us for the last performance of the story of Kunti and Karna, called The Queen's Secret. And if I could just have your attention for another minute, this is the last time I'm going to do this in Mayapur. We'll just ask you to do this, is a little bit of a yoga exercise, to sit with your back, neck, and head erect in a straight line. Okay? And now, we're going to ask you to look totally miserable, like you just got hit by a truck or something. Okay? Now, we'll ask you to raise your arms up above. We're going to go for a transition. Up above the heads. Okay? And now, lower those palms down and have the thumbs reach your forehead. Now slide the thumbs down and ski slope off the nose and land squarely on the lips. Okay? So from here, you flattened out your palms and stretch the thumbs across the lips and in an upward sweep end up with a smile, which is a sign of a devotee. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.